1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. And the epistle before us is written that we might have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We've come across many wonderful truths in this epistle, and we come now to John's focus on the indwelling Spirit in a believer. That's a significant truth. That you, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are indwelt by the very Spirit of God. And what John seeks to do here, and well, he does, is he explains for us the significance of what that means. And how the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit that abides within us, is one of the ways that God uses to convince us that we are His, that we are His child. We're going to focus on the first three verses of chapter 4, but as I said last time, the last verse of chapter 3. And remember, the verses, the chapter divisions are not inspired. They were things put in there later. But the last verse of chapter 3 is a hinge. It is taking us from what we have been looking at before and now thrusting us into the reality of the Spirit. And what does that mean for us as a believer? So I'll look at verse 24 first. We'll flow from that right in to chapter 4. So I'm reading verse 24 of chapter 3. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. So, as we launch into this, we want to make some careful observations, beginning in verse 24 of chapter 3. We notice the one that is dwelling in us, that is Jesus Christ. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in Jesus, and Jesus in him. And that is the very truth of Christ. His commandments abide in believers. And what follows then is hereby, by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. And what do we know about the Spirit? John has told us a lot about the Spirit through his gospel and through this that is before us. The Spirit is someone that Jesus spoke of, that he said, I will send to you. But the Spirit cannot come unless I go to be with the Father. Remember, this is in the past in John 13 through 17, where Jesus is seeking to comfort his disciples. He said, I'm going away, and this kind of rocks their world. What are we going to do now? And Jesus said, I'm going to send my Spirit. And he told the disciples about the Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit of truth. He guides and he teaches unto all truth. And so this concept of Jesus abiding in us and God's truth abiding in us is confirmed by the very Spirit of truth that God has given. don't miss this point, that God wants us to know that we are His, and that His truth abides in us. I mean, think about this. He has given us His commands. He's given us His Spirit to confirm those commands, to lead us and guide us in understanding that truth. Don't you see just how what God has done so that His children can have a confidence, can have that cheerful courage that we talked about last time we were in the text? That our joy truly might be full and abundant. The role of the Spirit in our lives is such a precious treasure. The Spirit is given to us. Notice the gift. The Spirit is a gift. It's God's gift to you and to me as a believer in Jesus Christ. We're born of the Spirit, right? Certainly born, made alive, born again, that whole concept. John chapter 3, we're born again, born of the Spirit, regeneration. Made new of the Spirit. And that Spirit is a gift to remain there within. Don't you love the fact that we're not alone? Don't you love the fact that God didn't just leave us with this block of commands, but there's no one to help us understand it, no one to confirm it in our lives on a regular basis. And so we have this block of commands, but what are we to do with it? How do we understand it? But no, He's given us His Spirit. This is an indwelling. We're the temple of the Spirit. So, with that being true, He says, beloved. And I love just the little words. And what does that communicate to you? Beloved. John cares about these people. He cares about you and me. I mean, just place yourself here. God knows. God knew that we would be looking at this tonight. Aren't we His beloved? And so this is an endearing term. This is a family term. These are things that we're talking about as the family of God in the context of God's wondrous love. So, beloved, we've got two imperatives here. Believe and try. Imperatives. Imperatives are, they come across with an urgency. They come across with, you need to pay attention and do this. This is important. The imperative is not just a normal verb, but it comes with energy. And it's push. So listeners, readers, church, two things here for us. Believe not every spirit. And secondly, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. The church must be made up of people who are actively, not passively, actively, not just sitting in their chairs, but up and actively discerning what is truth or who is speaking and communicating truth and who is not. These commands demand that action. We cannot just sit idly by and just soak in whatever comes our way. The warning that's embedded within this is that is dangerous, because the world is full of false teachers, false spirits, if you will. Let's just talk about that for a little bit, that concept of spirit. Notice here it says, believe not every spirit. So the obvious thrust in that is that there's more than one spirit. Well, what is he referring to here? You could say that if believe not every spirit, is that embodiment or essence of one's person or belief. In other words, what a person believes in their characters is could be used or defined as spirit. You know, if I were to come up to you and tell you that you have such a sweet spirit, right? We do that, right? We use it this way. You have such a sweet spirit. What am I saying? Well, I'm recognizing that what comes out of you is very pleasing. It's sweet. I like it. It's something that I truly experience. But you know, the spirit is not something that I can physically touch. Right? The sweet spirit. I say you are a sweet spirit. I can't like come up and pick that sweet spirit up and say, you know, no. But I experience it, right? It's real. It's certainly there. Well, John here understands and wants us to, as the church, to understand that this world is full of spirits. These spirits are spirits that we cannot physically just, you know, pick up and touch. But the reality of their existence is felt and understood by what is communicated by them and through them. In other words, each of us communicate what we believe and who we are. And you could say that in some ways would be our spirit that is understood and recognized by people. So when he says, believe not every spirit, he's understanding and recognizing that there will be coming at us, at believers, at the church, varying different beliefs, varying different teachings, understandings that we know and understand, but we don't, you know, it's not that we can physically touch them. So what are we to do with that? Well, we're not to believe everyone. Now, do you understand what that means? It means we cannot just blindly and passively go through life and just think everything that comes at us is okay. And just accept it all. I mean, we don't do that physically, do we? I mean, think about food. You know, we could take this and do you just take everything that comes across you and eat it? And you just take it in and, oh well. No, what are you? You're discerning. You don't believe that everything that's put in front of you is... Now I could get in trouble with women here, aren't I? I'm going to pursue it anyway. So you can't get... You have to make a decision about it, correct? I mean, I know in our home... This is going to get me in trouble. I could get... You know, let's see... You know, if you come and eat at our house, I will do my best to make sure everything is good. But you know what? Sometimes you don't know whether the food that is before you was on the floor or not. Could have been. You don't know if some little hand had reached up in the table and took it off and put it back. You don't know. But we're talking not about food tonight. We're talking about the spirit. But believe not every spirit. That's an important action. And so parents, we've got to teach our young people to be discerning. Media, you got Facebook, you got movies, TV shows, commercials, all these things are coming at us. And do we just blindly accept everything? And just embrace it as truth? No, we cannot. We cannot afford that kind of passive attitude. It's going to lead to great trouble. Well, so beloved, believe not every spirit. Well, then what are we to do? But try the spirits. So we don't believe everything, but we take those and we try them. Now, that's not try as in, oh, I just take a sampling. That's not what that means. This is This is a prove it. We test it. We examine it. It's the idea that, you know, go back to the food illustration, you could take the food into the laboratory under the microscope and you can see the germs that might be there. And so you're proving, you're testing that food to see whether it is true and genuine and good for you. So we don't believe every spirit, but what we do is we take the spirits that are coming at us and we test them. We examine them. John is not the only one that teaches this idea and this concept. Paul, Ephesians 5:10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Same word. He tells the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He's teaching the church to be discerning, take active measures to examine what you're doing, what you're believing, what you're practicing, that it be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So the idea here is we are to be discerning people. We need to be discerning. We need to be a people that don't just blindly believe things, but we test them. What does this mean? What does this look like? Well, you might mean that we have to slow down sometimes. You know, we as a church, we've had some great ideas come across in our meetings and various different things about what we as a church could be doing in ministry or a building project or whatever it is. You know, we could just blindly just say, just take all those different things and say, sure, let's do all that. But if we're going to be true about all this and we're going to not just believe everything that comes is of God, we're going to test it. We're going to examine it. You know what? That takes some time sometimes. You know, sometimes we may be a little impatient, upset, we're not moving or doing anything, but you know, I don't see a need to rush through. I see more important a need to be discerning and testing and proving and examining things. Now, the two imperatives are believe not every spirit, and secondly, but try the spirits. And the specific direction in this proving or the reason is whether they are of God. Now, that is very defining. Of God. What you have to consider here is who is God, right? And what do you understand about God? And so, if you understand who God is, then you'll be able to understand who the spirits are, what spirits are of God. Of means that the idea of taking upon his character and who he is and what defines him as God. God is what? Holy? Holy. I mean, that's he's completely set apart. God is just. I mean, we could go on and on. He's righteous. He's all powerful. You just go down through and you consider that and understand that's what we're looking at here. We're seeking to try, examine, prove the spirits whether they are of God, whether they match God's character, God's truth. Aren't you glad that he's the standard? That we don't have to come up with some standard? that the standard is not based on you and me, or any other man for that matter? It's established and set on God. That removes us from the picture. And, you know, we don't have to battle with one another. It's God. Well, try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. That helps us understand why this is important. False prophets, those that are proclaiming false things. And notice the contrast in this in 1 John between false and truth. False and true. True and false. And here you have false prophets that are going out into the world. Do you realize that there are false teachers in our world today? And false teachers may even have the Word of God open. And may even be proclaiming, at least they profess to be proclaiming, God's truth from the Bible. You know, we could really get ourselves in trouble if we just see a guy with an open Bible and just listen to him and just embrace all that he says. You know, we could really be, we could really learn something from the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? They studied the scriptures to see if it was so, right? I mean, God has given us his commands. We've taught, that's end of chapter 3, the importance of obeying God's commands, and God has given that to us. And each of us have the privilege of doing that ourselves. I mean, this is something certainly that the church is to be doing, but this is, I believe, individually. I mean, yes, I need to be careful and not to believe every spirit and try the spirits and just protect the flock. But you know, you are to be doing the same thing for yourselves, for your families, for your children, and young people. You are to be doing it for your own selves. We all need to be a discerning, actively discerning people. There are many false prophets that are going out into the world. I want us to look at just a couple passages that confirm this point. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is Paul with the Ephesian elders. He is this is his final time with them, so he's meeting with them as he's passing through in Acts chapter 20, and he gives them just this final message. And it's a very powerful message, but part of it speaks to this fact of the existence of false teachers. Look at verse 28 and following. He says to them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." You see the discernment that he's saying you must have, elders? Take heed, be careful. Why? Because false teachers like wolves are going to come in. The image of a wolf, is graphic, because a wolf is very destructive, especially in this imagery of a flock of sheep. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." I'm in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." That's what John's warning about here. seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You see the contrast there between false teachers and the truth? You see, we are to be people of the truth. But John is warning us, and as Paul is here with Timothy, there are those spirits that will come, and they are false, and they will seek to deceive and seduce. Draw us away. Perhaps we know someone like that in our life that has been seduced and drawn away by one of these spirits. They were not discerning, and they embraced it. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, Peter's warning, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, there's the way of truth, shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. You see the comparison between the false and the true? You see his graphic language? You see that? In the 2 John, verse 7, 2 John, verse 7, John here again, he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So, back to 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Perhaps this is not new news to you, but I tell you, it is good to be reminded. We can get lazy. We can enter into the easy learning and just taking in things easily. We must not fall prey to that. Don't believe every spirit, but rather try them, test them, examine them to see whether they are of God. I wanted to cover more tonight because verses 2 and 3, and I'm not going to get into them tonight, but verses 2 and 3 give the test. They give the test. We read it. I'll read it again. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. So by this you know the Spirit of God. And then here's the test. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. There's that of God again. So remember, that's the measuring. That's the standard of God. And so every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And then verse 3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So there's the standard, there's the test that you and I are to put the spirits that come at us through. And we'll talk more about that in the next time we're together, what that test really means. What is it that in that statement that provides for us a good test for this? So I trust that we'll be able to gather together again and look at that. So, Lord, I thank you for our time together, and I thank you for your word. And I'm so grateful that you warn us and instruct us to be discerning, to be careful. Thank you for being the Holy righteous God that you are. You are our standard. And God, I pray for your people. I thank you, Lord, that they chose to be here tonight and to be in this fellowship. And I pray that you would encourage them and give them strength for the week to come. You know what they will face. You know what we all will face. And I thank you, God, that we can face these things knowing you are God, our God, in control, powerful, and able. In Jesus' name, amen.